welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach, Ted LePage.
All right, Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 76-22 win against Eldon. What were some of the things that jumped out on you on film when you went back and looked at that game?
We really did a good job executing, even though the score got away from everybody. Ones, I thought, on both sides of the ball, and even on special teams, were extremely efficient. They looked really good. They looked crisp. And we took them out, put the twos in. I thought we had some errors that happened with twos that were great to coach on film and things that we can correct. So it was a great learning environment because we played our first game on grass. It was a really road game. We had been out of school, but I think our ones really went out and performed at the level that they need to perform at, and it was a good situation for us.
I was going to say, one of the takeaways I had from that game was 11 touchdowns, but from 9 players. So it wasn't, I know Adam Hall had a good game with 3 touchdowns, but, 8 other guys also found their way into the end zone.
It was really remarkable that happens. That's something that you go through a season, don't have 9 players score, much less in one game. And I think that just shows the maturity of our offense. It also shows the maturity of our football team that, it's not about one player. It's about a team and everybody doing their job. And when your number's called, you want to step up and make that play. And that's one thing we're seeing out of the blocking, like our receivers downfield. They're blocking downfield for each other. Everybody wants everybody to feel the sense of accomplishment in this team. And that's something that has really been an upbeat thing for me this year.
Through 7 weeks this season, the offense is averaging 55.7 points per game, and the defense is only giving up 15.7. Do you take obviously great numbers, but is there one number you take in more pride over the other?
I think the defensive one, because really when you essentially go back, our ones haven't given up that many points. So we don't want to tell anybody, and I'm telling everybody right now, but we don't tell anybody, our defense has really been playing at a very high level, and a lot of things we're seeing is we want to develop a program, and so we're not afraid to sub down, and we sub down, it is what it is, but at the same standpoint, those players need time. They need to figure out how to play this game, and they get on film. So that's what we're really trying to accomplish out of that.
This week's opponent, senior night at home against Hallsville. What have you seen from the Indians on film?
Probably the best running team in our conference, and that's not knocking anybody, but we've even said that about our team. They're better. Their quarterback running back combo is over 2,100 yards between them. Our running quarterback and running back combo aren't that high. So really extremely physical, large offensive line that will move people. Quarterback is as fast as anybody, that if there is out there. He gets in the open field, he's going to take it the distance. Running back, powerful, really good runner. Defensively, they really have mirrored into a more attack-style defense than they have been in the past, and I think a lot of that has to do with their scoring and they're wanting to score points, so they're trying to come after you defensively.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage, and Greg, I haven't listened to the interview yet. I will when I put this thing together, but I got to assume that, Coach LePage had plenty of nice things to say about a game in which you win 76-22.
Yeah, I went back and looked it up. That's the second most points they scored in a game. I believe they scored 77 points in a game against Southern Boone back in 2005. And to me, 76 points sounds like a lot, but it wasn't.
Right.
It felt like another game where they scored in the 50s. I think what it is they got some short fields because after a while, Eldon stopped punting the ball and then they turned over on downs and all of a sudden Blair Oaks is working with the short field and they punch it in like 2 or 3 plays later. So it's one of those things where I know some people thought, well, it looks like they, like if you look at the score, it looks like they ran up and it's like, nah, it's just like the Versailles game. They just scored early, and the JV again played about half the game, so it's just the way it goes.
That's one of those things that I think people who, just kind of look at scores or don't go to a lot of games or don't see a team like Blair Oaks that can score a lot, it's kind of a common misconception. When the other team scores 22, that means the game has a flow to it where you're scoring, you're getting, they're getting the ball, they may score, they may give it back. There's lots of possessions created in a game like that, so there's lots of opportunities to score in a game like that, as opposed to some of those lower scoring games where you may not have chances or, you know, possessions are limited. When the other team's scoring 22, that means that the pace of play is such that there's going to be lots of scoring in a game.
And that's one of the things that I've highlighted, to me, whenever I read the other two stories of the other sports writers on staff, like, you know, for example, Colin McRaevey's story on Capital City, talking about how they scored on 6 or 8 possessions and the 9th was when they kneeled down to end the game. I'm like, by the time Blair's on their 9th possession, it's midway through the second quarter. Right. Like, I'm sitting like, wait, games are like that?
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. I mean, and that to me, that just shows an efficiency on offense. It shows that, yeah, there's a possibility. Like, there's going to come a time where Blair Oaks is going to have to churn out a drive and eat like 5 to 6 minutes off the clock once the postseason gets here. But right now, they're doing a lot of the right things on offense.
Exactly.
And what do you want the kid to do? Like, go, like, instead of getting a 20-yard run, like, go out of bounds after 5? I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is if, you know, a lot of people may look at it and go, oh, yeah, they're running up the scores on people. Well, it's not necessarily running up the – it's one thing if you're doing that and you've got your first-team offense in the whole game. But I know you and I talked about this a little bit off-air. If you look at it, they score 11 touchdowns and 9 different players. That means it's not just you, you know, throwing your starters at them, bludgeoning them with those same guys. You're getting other guys in and doing what you're supposed to do as a coach. You're bringing in the JV, and oh, if the JV guys score, and then if you bring in some freshmen and the freshmen score, that's not your fault. If you're still scoring, that just means whatever you're doing is working, and whatever the other team is doing to stop you is not working.
Right. I mean, the JV offense accounted for 2 of those touchdowns. Then they brought in a couple of defensive players out of the wishbone on plays where they're at the 3-yard line, and Bryson Farner was able to punch it in. Brady Kirkland was able to punch it in. The one player with multiple touchdowns was Adam Hall, who had 3 touchdown receptions. And here's the key takeaway for me. Grant, I mean, it's Versailles and Eldon, and they won big. Dylan Hare carried the ball a total of 4 times in these past 2 games.
Right.
So you, it's not like he...
Right.
But I mean, the thing is, he's averaging 45 yards a carry. So right then and there, he's A, getting his numbers, and B, there's no point. Like, what are they supposed to do? Let him try to run for 500 yards? No.
Right.
Kind of save him, conserve him, let some of these other guys. I mean, Hayden Lackman's getting his carries. But, I mean, that's the other takeaway I have from this is when you get the JV in there, the past 2 games, like, they've had a total of, like, 12 or 13 different guys run with the ball.
Sure.
And that's what you want to see because you don't want to get caught looking ahead to next year, but there is going to have to be a life after Dylan Hare, and let's see what some of these other guys can do running the football.
And the other thing is, too, is that gets kind of lost in the shuffle some of these times is, you know, these kids have to do what they have to do in their narrow window. I mean, they know that there are certain games on their schedule where they're just not going to get to play a lot. So it's almost like you said before, you can't tell a kid not to run hard when he knows, you know, I may only get 4 or 5 carries this game. I'm going to run hard on every one of them, and so be it. If he rips off a 50 or 60 yard touchdown run, you can't tell him stop because he's going, well, but there's somebody waiting on the bench that they're going to get some time for today. So everybody wants to do as well as they can. And in a game like that, obviously everybody did do as well as they can.
Yeah. And I mean, the other takeaway I have is the defense is still playing well.
Yeah.
I believe the first team defense didn't give up a single point. You know, Eldon got one touchdown was on a kickoff return. The other 2 touchdowns were in the second half with a JV in there, and it was just a nice long run. And honestly, probably that the last touchdown for Eldon was a touchdown pass into double coverage. It's probably one of the top passes I've seen all year from a Blair Oaks opponent. So Eldon, you know, they also played without Hunter Hess. I know we talked about him a lot last week. They held him out due to injury. Hopefully they can get him back these last 2 games because they've got a shot to win these last 2 and maybe get some momentum and find a way to go into the postseason with a 5-4 record.
Yeah. So that puts the Falcons right now at 7-0 overall, 5-0 in the Tri-County Conference. They're going to look to keep that streak going tonight at 7 o'clock against Hallsville. Hallsville comes in at 4-3 and 3-2. And, you know, you look at the record and go, well, you know, that's not all that awe-inspiring or anything. But it's still a Hallsville team that's pretty darn dangerous.
Right. And what people have to remember is, and they graduated, I believe, 17 seniors from last year's team. Last year's team, again, was the one that, you know, ran the table regular season, won the Tri-County Conference, was able to beat Raleigh Pass Blair Oaks in the final minute. You know, one of the things Coach LePage harped on all offseason was, you know, Blair Oaks was, you know, 1 yard away from making it a three-way tie for the conference title with Blair Oaks, Hallsville, and Boonville. And it was one of those cool plays I look back on. You had Dylan Hare, the conference offensive player of the year, DJ Larkin from Hallsville, the defensive conference player of the year on that 4th-and-1 play where Dylan's trying to get a keeper for a first down, and Larkin just hits him in the backfield, and there's no gain. So it's not very often you get to see a play like that with the game on the line, sure, and the conference is arguably two best players, right, on each side of the ball going head-to-head, and Hallsville won that battle.
Yeah. So, and I think it's one of those things, too, where you look at it and go, it's not only just the fact that they've still got some good players left from a pretty, yeah, darn good team. I mean, obviously, they lost 2 All-Staters, so that's going to be tough for anybody to, right, overcome. But it's also a Hallsville team where you look at it and go, it's a team that, with the exception of, you know, maybe the Versailles game, which is kind of the strangest game on their schedule, yeah, that they only won 18-6, they've put up plenty of points in most of these games. Yeah. So it's not like you can just look at them and go, yeah, they're a 4-3 team, but they're coming in and they don't scare you very much. They scored 48 last week against Southern Boone. So,
right,
that's the type of team I think that they have and the type of capability they have on offense.
They do. And, I mean, really, for the most part, it's a two-headed monster on offense with their quarterback Colton Nichols and running back Harrison Fowler. And the thing is, it could be one or the other.
Okay.
For example, last week it was Harrison Fowler against Southern Boone. You know, he had 5 rushing touchdowns and about 347 yards rushing. But the thing is, and this is about as close to a type, I would argue this is about as close to Dylan Hare as what Blair Oaks is going to see from the opposition's quarterback.
Okay.
So, kind of curious to see if Blair Oaks will have Dylan play scout team offense this week. But Colton Nichols has rushed for near 1,200 yards through these first 7 games. And I believe of the 7 games, you know, he's rushed for at least 100 yards in 6 of them. And of those 6, and at least for 200 yards in 4 of them. So really doing a lot with the offense. He can throw the ball a little. He's got probably about between 600 and 700 yards passing the ball, but okay, his main threat is going to be running the ball. So really, you know, for the most part, you know, Hallsville is a 75% to 25% run to pass, and it'll be very interesting to see how that goes up against Blair Oaks' rush defense, which has not allowed more than 100 net yards in each of the past 4 games.
I was going to say, this has got to be probably one of those games where the defense is really keyed up, yeah, heading into this one. Just because, I mean, obviously you get excited every week. You want to stop the other team every week. But I think it's when you kind of do run up against those kind of, you know, marquee type players that a lot of, you know, that's the kind of weeks where the defense really wants to show up and make a point and brings a little added extra oomph to things that week.
And that's the thing. I mean, we got to remember, there were no seniors on this Blair Oaks defense last year. So almost every single one of those starters from last year is back this year. They remember that game against Hallsville where it turned into a shootout. And really, you go back and look at Hallsville's schedule, and when they played Boonville early on, that game was almost, I mean, that basically was the equivalent of the Blair Oaks-Hallsville,
right,
game last year,
right,
where that was such a back-and-forth fourth quarter. The only difference was that one went into overtime, and Boonville ended up pulling that one out. But going back, what you were talking about with the Versailles game, that was a weird game where Versailles was up 6-2 at halftime and just was able to force a lot of turnovers. I think that's going to be the key tonight for Blair Oaks' defense. Not only can they try to limit the yards that Hallsville gains in the run game, but if Blair Oaks can continue to win the turnover margin. You know, last week was the first week game all season where they didn't get an interception, but they forced 3 fumbles.
Right.
And to me, that's going to be the key. I think to come away with a win or even a sizable win on senior night is, can they force about 3 fumbles and take advantage of those? And to me, I think the key thing is, if you get some stops, I think you win, because we haven't seen many offenses since conference play started even come remotely close to stopping Blair Oaks' offense on a regular basis, let alone, I mean, really, maybe you might get them once, maybe twice, but
right,
it's difficult to stop them more than that.
Yeah, I think it's that was one thing I was going to follow up with you on next was, you know, this conference season, I mean, the conference is always kind of interesting just to find out, okay, who's going to be good in any given year, who's going to be kind of the team right behind Blair Oaks that's going to maybe push them in any given years. Last year we saw them not win a title for the first time in a while. But I think I kind of like the way that this season ends for Blair Oaks, only from the standpoint of, if you look at it, all these wins so far have been pretty darn commanding. In the last 2 weeks, we knew they were going to be blowouts before the game ever started.
Right.
I like the fact that you're ending the regular season and getting ready for the postseason. I mean, it's hard to believe we're through 7 weeks. We've exactly. only got two more regular season games before we start the win-or-go-home portion of the schedule. But I like the fact that you end with a good Hallsville team and you end with a Southern Boone team that you know, it's I think it's those are two good tests when you're coming down the stretch where you go, yeah, both those teams right now, you know, between Hallsville and Southern Boone, only 4-3, but I think they're kind of pesky, scrappy 4-3 teams where you go, if you're going to end the kind of conference schedule with two teams, I think you like these in terms of maybe getting you ready for the postseason mentality you're going to have.
That's where you like the fact that the Tri-County Conference will rotate its schedule every 2 years, and that week 9 opponent after that 2 year cycle becomes your week 3 opponent and pushes it down. Because I agree with you. I mean, that, like you in 2015 when they played for sales back to back weeks, and it was, you saw 270-0 games. We saw that with California a few years back. And I agree with you, especially with the possibility that if Blair Oaks continues to hold on to the one seed in their district, it's a 7-team district, they would get that first round bye. So
sure.
if they continue to hold, you get Hallsville, then you go on the road and play Southern Boone, and you get two really good games, and now you've got an extra week to look at that film and try to fix some things up.
Okay.
And to me, I think those are really kind of two of the opponents that you want to play during that stretch.
Although I guess the follow-up question is, what do they need to fix up, Greg? I mean, honestly, the way things are going right now, I don't know that there's much they can look on tape and go, we need to fix that and fix that. I mean, there's probably little tiny things.
But, and really the one thing I pointed out to some people was they want to bring in the wishbone sparingly, because there were times where they, for example, that Dylan Hare versus DJ Larkin play last year. I would argue that is the play that caused them to want to go with the wishbone at times this year, because you've got to be able to get that yard when you can. And there have been times this year where they had 4th-and-3 situations, they call out the wishbone, and they'd only get 2 yards, and they'd have a turnover on downs. But last week, we saw them, those two touchdowns by, you know, Bryson Barner and Brady Kerper, those were wishbone plays, and they easily got those 3 yards. So, to me, I thought that was something that they needed to work on, and they go out and they worked on it against Eldon. So, I agree. Maybe these 2 weeks will find some things that they need to work on that we haven't seen really over the past 4 weeks.
Sure. Okay. Well, I guess that gets us to the prediction point, and how do you see this one playing out tonight?
You know, I do think, you know, if you look at Blair Oaks' offense, they have piled up the points. I mean, they're averaging 55 points a game, which, I mean, it feels like every year they're breaking that scoring average record.
Right.
I do think this is a game where I don't know if they get into the 50s. Okay. I do think they at least get to the 40s. And the biggest question to me is, how often does Hallsville get in the end zone? I do think this is a game where Blair Oaks' varsity will be on the field from start to finish, unless they just find a way to blow them away by halftime. But I will go out and say that Blair Oaks wins this one 49-20.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.